Hello, welcome back to Taradi Mechanachiomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz, and today we'll continue our study of Sefer Mishlei, right up to Perek Lamed. So there's only two Perekim left, Perek Lamed and Lamed Aleph, and this is extremely interesting. Perek Lamed is completely different than anything we have seen unto this point. Very, very different. So I'm going to read you both in the content and the formation and the structure of the verses and the message. It's extremely different than what we have seen until now. So I'm going to read you the Steintot Ketuvim introduction to this perek. This last collection of aphorisms in the book of Proverbs differs from the previous ones in several respects. First, these proverbs are longer than the previous ones. They comprise several verses. Second, the text does not attribute them to King Solomon, but to other figures. It is possible that King Solomon collected various aphorisms or copied the style of well-known composers. In addition, the earlier Proverbs of Solomon are mainly words of reproof and practical instruction about daily behavior, as we have seen over the course of 29 Prakim. Whereas this section consists of descriptions of reality and facts of life through which one can become wise through contemplation. Some of the wise sayings in this chapter are linked to their analogous use of numbers, which you will see. Chapter focuses heavily on structure and lessons through numbers. It's extremely different than what we have been used to by Mishlei until this point. So, for example, just listen to the first pasuk, Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Divrei Agur bin Yaker Hamasa Nu'um Hagever Li'itial. The Itiel V'uchal. Wow. Okay. I'm going to use the Steintot Ketuvim to explain, not just translate, explain. These are the words of Agur, the son of Yakeh. This, says the Steintot Ketuvim, is an unknown personage. The sages maintain this is one of the names of King Solomon himself. Shlomo had many names. The Tanakh itself calls him both King Shlomo, Solomon, and Yedidya. It is accepted furthermore that the title Kohelet refers to Solomon as well. Accordingly, the sages expound the name Agur, son of Yaker, is a description of one who collects, oger, words of wisdom, and then spits them out, meki'am, or emits them for others to hear. So it is possible that Divrei Agur bin Yaker refers to King Shlomo, who collects words of wisdom and spits them out for others to hear. Furthermore, Hamasa, these are words of Masa, oration. Masa is a kind of prophetic vision. Nu'um Hagever Li'itiel, the utterance of the man, says the man or swears the man to Itiel. Whether Itiel is the one delivering the speech or Agur's intended audience, Itiel's identity is also unknown. However, his name can be interpreted literally if we look at it. Li'itiel stands for, meaning God, El, Kel, is with me, E-T, the E-T-L, Hashem is with me, and therefore I am capable of succeeding, V'u-Chal. So that is on the first pasuk. Divrei Agur bin Yaker Hamasa, Nu'um Hagever, the E-T-L, V'u-Chal. When Hashem is with me, E-T, Kel, V'u-Chal, I am able to succeed. Okay, and the Steintot Ketuvim notes this is an esoteric introduction to the oration that follows. Ki ba'ar anochi me'ish, I'm in Pasuk Beis now, ve'lo binat adam li. I am a boor among men. I lack discernment in comparison to others. And understanding of man is not mine. I am a simple person. Steintot Ketuvim, this address in this parak begins with a declaration whose context is also unknown. Exactly what Shlomo is referring to, if it is Shlomo at all, or if he collected the aphorisms from somebody else, a different scholar or poet, collector of wisdom, who is he referring to? Ki ba'ar anochi me'ish, I am a boor among men, velo binat adam li. The understanding of man, the bina of man, is not mine. Now, that's interesting because Shlomo Melech bina was his. If there was anything he had, it was wisdom, especially as we've seen in the last Choftes Prakim. So again, this context is unknown. Pasuk Gimel, velo lamadati chachma, I have not learned wisdom, v'da'as kedoshim eida, I do not know the sacred knowledge, Pasuk Dalet, mi Allah shamayim, v'yereid, mi asaf ruach b'chafnav, mi tzarar mayim basimla, Mi he kim kol avse aretz mashamo umashim bino kiteda. Here the speaker, the prophesier, he who is giving us his wisdom, whether it's Shlomo or he collected sayings of somebody else, is talking about the wonders of nature. And when you contemplate the wonders of nature, a person will come to recognize the hand of God. Mi alashamayim. Who went up to the heavens via radim, then came down from heaven? Mi asaf ruach, who gathered the winds? Bechafnav, who gathered the winds in his fists? Mi tsarar mayim basimu, who is able to bind up water in his garments? These are almost rhetorical questions, if you will. Is it possible to go to the heavens and come back down? Is it possible to gather up the winds in your fists? Is it possible to collect water in your garment? Mi hekim kol afse aretz, who holds up all the ends of the earth? Mashimo, what is his name? Umashim bino, and what is the name of his son? Kiteda, do you know? So this pasuk is really telling us through a poetic allegory, form of the prowess of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the creator of the world. Rabbi Zev Left points out that the word Hateva, which is the natural world, Hateva, is equal in gematria to Shem Elokim. When you have a Hey, Aleph, then Lama, then Hey, Yod, Mem. The first time I heard Rabbi Zev Left say this, I was on fast track, I didn't have a pen and paper. And he said that Hateva, nature, the natural world, equals Elokim, Shem Hashem. And I'm on my fast track, so I'm doing the gematria in my hand. I'm using a kuf. I'm like, wait, it doesn't equal each other, because if you do Elokim with a kuf, you're not going to get 86. And then I realized, no, Michal, you need to do a hey. We just say it Elokim because we don't say Shem Hashem. So if you do Shem Elokim with a hey and Hatava, they both equal 86. Well, this pasuk is telling you who but God could be in the heavens and come down to see what's going on here as well. Who can gather up and control all the winds? Who can collect all the waters to where they're supposed to be? Who can hold up the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is the name of his son? Do you know? Pasuk, hey, kol imas eloa tzerufa, magenhu lachosimba. Every saying of God is refined. He is a shield to those who rely on him. Pasuk vav, al tosif, I'm not even sure how you pronounce this word, al tosfuf, I'm not sure. If you look in the pasuk vav, you'll see it's a pesofis, but with a shva. So it's a tav vav samich pe sofis with a shva. Al tosf al dvarav pen yochiach becha v'nich zavta. Do not add on to Hashem's words. And that's something we have a mitzvah, bal tosif. We're not allowed to add on. So we can have, I don't know, instead of arba minim, we can have chamisha minim. You can't add on sukkahs. You can't take five species. You can only take four species. We have a mitzvah, a law, bal tosif. We cannot add on to Hashem. We can't have tzitzis on five corners. We can only have tzitzis on four corners. Pen yochiach becha, lest he rebuke you, v'nich zavta, you are found to be false. Pasuk Zayin. And here the speaker introduces us to the concept of this perek, which is that things happen or are compared or learned by in numbers. Pasuk Zayin, Shtayim sha'alti mi'itach. I asked of you for two things. Al timna mimeni, do not hold them back from me. Beterem amut, do not hold them back from me before I die. So two, and you're going to see, I'm going to give you examples of how later in the parak, it's a very long parak, we absolutely cannot go through every pasuk, because I still want to give you a lesson, but he teaches us lessons in sets of numbers, and here we're introduced to that. Pasuk Zayin, Shtayim sha'alti mi'itach, two I asked from you, Al timna mimeni, do not hold it back from me, b'terem emut, lest I die. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Shav u'devar kazav, harcheik mimeni, Reish va'osher al titeli hatrifeni lechem chuki. Distance vanity and falsehood from me. So falsehood and vanity, make it stay far away from me. Reish va'osher al titeli, don't give me poverty, but also don't give me great wealth. Because both extreme poverty and great wealth are both tremendous nisonos. Great wealth, of course, is a blessing, but it has to be channeled properly. It could have a very strong gate sahara. And great poverty is also, of course, a tremendous nisayin. Hatrifeni lechem chuki, feed me with my allotted bread. Trifeni, the root word is tarof, which means to tear apart. So tear apart bread for me, provide me with my bread, with my sustenance. Pasuk tes, pen espa v'chichashti v'amarti mi Hashem. Oh, lest I become satiated and I forget, I renounce that there's a God. And I say, Mi Hashem, who is Hashem? So what is the first part of this pasuk telling you, combined with pasuk ches? When a person becomes too sated, when a person becomes too full, too content, we run the risk of forgetting there's a ribono sh'olam. Pen espalas, I become sated. V'chichashti, and I deny there's a God. V'amarti, and I say, Mi Hashem, I'm the best farmer. I'm the best stockbroker. I'm the best, I don't know, speech therapist. I'm the best teacher. I know, I don't know, whatever. I'm the best accountant. Whatever it is, a person may come to think that because of the strength and prowess of my hands, I have all this wealth. That's in Perek Ches of Devarim. Kochi votzem yadi asayis achayazeh. The Perek, it's Parshas Eikav. The Psukim in Perek Ches tells very specifically that when a person becomes too successful, too wealthy, they run the risk of forgetting the source, capital S, of all that they have, and that is Ribono Sh'olam. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech echoes for us here. Pen espa, like soveya, lest I become sated, v'chichashti, and I deny that there's a God, v'amarti, and I say, Mi Hashem, who is Hashem? What did Paro say? What's the first thing that Paro said when Moshe comes and says, free the Jews? Perek Hey, Pasuk Beis of Sefer Shemos and Parsha Shemos. What does Parsha say? Mi Hashem, Mi Hashem. It's the quintessence of Gaiva. Parsha says, Mi Hashem, Asher Ashma Bakol. Lo Yadati Es Hashem, V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Ashalech. Shemos Perek Hey, Pasuk Beis. The quintessence of Gaiva is Paro Harasha. And the first utterance to Moshe, the very first is, Who Hashem that I should listen to his voice? I do not know Hashem, and to him I will not listen, and I will not send the Jews. So when a person becomes too satisfied, too content, too successful, it's easy with the prowess of the Yetzer Hara, the tentacles of the Yetzer Hara, to forget that there's Hashem. On the other hand, Pasuk 10 says us, Upen Ivaresh, lest I become poor, destitute, v'ganavti, and I come to steal. That too is a sin. Just like it's a sin to forget that there's Hashem and to think the might of my hands made me this wealth. It's also a sin that a person is poor. They also have an Nisayon. But Nisayon is they may come to steal. V'tafasti shame Elokai. The end of the Pasuk says, if I do all these things, if I become sated and forget that there's Hashem, if I become poor and I end up stealing, ultimately v'tafasti shame Elokai, I appropriate the name of my God by swearing falsely in his name or by causing cursing and bitterness over my situation. Steindl's Ketuvim says it's dangerous to be too wealthy and it's dangerous to be too poor. And therefore, the speaker here requests to receive only the food that I need in a state of tranquility and comfort. So I wanted to tell you about the numbers later in the parak. Pasuk Tes Zayin tells us there are four elements on earth that will never be sated, that will never be satisfied or content. One is the grave. In other words, the earth will keep taking people after 120. Two is the barren womb, representing the desire for offspring. Three is the earth will never be sated with water. The earth continuously swallows any water that is poured into it. And four, fire does not say enough, but continues to burn whatever it encounters. So in Pasuk Tes Vav and Tes Zayin, we're told about things that are never sated, that will never say enough. One, the grave. Two, the barren womb. Three, earth from not being sated with water. Four, fire does not say enough. Pasuk of Dalet tells us there are four creatures that are small upon the earth, but in practice they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people, a community, not mighty, yet they prepare their food in the summer. We spoke about ants months earlier. When we look at ants, we see that they're very, very teeny, but when they work as a community, they prepare their food for the summer. Again, these are four that are, they prepare their food in the summer, I should say. These are four that are small, that might, but small but mighty. One, ants. Two, the hyraxes, pasachov vav, shefanim, are a community, not powerful. A hyrax is a very small animal. Yet they place their house in a rock. Unlike other creatures, they live in the crevices and cliffs where they find shelter. So they're small but mighty. Three, locusts. Locusts individually are very small, but they go in ranks to work together. Hundreds of thousands of millions of them can go in a huge force. And finally, four, the gecko, I'm not sure if it's gecko or geeko, probably might be both. The gecko, and you see them often in the land of Israel, by the way, grasps with his hands. This is the fourth animal that is small but mighty, taking hold of surfaces with its legs. It is found everywhere, even in king's palaces. Interesting. Those are the four that are small but mighty. Ants, hyraxes, locusts, and the gecko. Then Pasuk Choftes, through Lamed and Lamed Aleph, introduces us to four accomplished marchers that march on the earth. So it's a very different structure. But I really just wanted to share a quick insight with you. I hope it's quick because our time is up. But it's in the beginning psukim that we looked at. And we saw this idea in the beginning psukim, Pasuk Zayin, Chas, Tes, Yud, of reliance on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and understanding that anything we have is not our own, it is God's. I'm quoting from the Sefer Talalei Oros, who quotes the Sefer, the Melitz Yoshar. I'm quoting from the Sefer Talalei Oros, and Parshas Ekev, who quotes from the Melitz Yoshar. And the Pasuk says, V'amartim b'vavecha, kochi v'otzim yadi asali, esachayil azeh, and you will say in your heart, when you become too wealthy and too successful, the strength and might of my hand made me all of this wealth. It's Perichas Pasuk Gedzayin in Sefer Devarim. So the Sefer Talalei Oros, it's a Hebrew language Sefer, writes, what is one of the reasons that we do Netilas Yadayim in the morning? When a person wakes up in the morning after he says Moda Ani, first thing he's supposed to do is wash his hands. I open one, I open two, I say Moda Ani because it means thank you. I wash my Yadayim three times each, that's true, because that's what a Jewish boy and girl must do. I'm not singing it, but that is a song from when I was a kid. So one of the halachos is that we wake up after Moda Ani, we need to wash Netilas Yadayim Shel Shachris. Why? Because the sages tell us that there's an impurity on the hands of a person from the time that he sleeps, and therefore we need to wash off the impurity when we wake up. But the question is, why specifically is there impurity on the hands more than any other limbs of the body? Since a person makes a mistake and he says, the strength and might of my hands may be this wealth, at hatzlochotav ba'olam hazeh, no tehu liyachis liyadav, is the tendency of man to attribute his success in this world to his own hands. Ve'enecha tumah gedola, you have no greater impurity, me'asher lahamin b'koach atzmo, than a person who believes in the prowess and the strength and the might and the success of his own hands. Ha'havach michuyav ha'amuna, this is the opposite of belief in amuna, of enol mevado, there is nothing other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lakein davka biyadayim, and therefore specifically we wash our hands, yoser mikol avirai ha'adam, more than all the other body parts of man, nitafas v'na'a chazat ha'tumah, because the hands are what trap and hold the tumah. Why? Because the Torah tells you in Devarim, kochi v'otzem yadi, the strength and might of my hands made me this price. Oh, you wake up in the morning, you're going to start a new day, you're going to the field, you're going to the market, you're going to barter eggs for carrots, you're going to the stock market, you're going to the apartment building, I don't know, you're going to work, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a therapist, you're going to be a consultant, whatever it is that you're doing. We run the risk of the strength and might of my hands may be this well. So specifically in the morning when we wake up, we must wash off that tuma, says the Melitz Yosher. And remember, everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I thank Mr. Jeff Weinberg, the author of Faith at Work, for sharing this beautiful source with me. And that is what these psukim reminded me of. Shlomo HaMelech says, keep far away from me extreme wealth and also poverty. And when a person is too content and sated, pan espa v'chichashti v'amarti bi Hashem, we run the risk when we become too wealthy and too content and we say, who is Hashem? Let us never be like Paro, who says, who is God that I should listen to his voice? Let us always remember, lo ala lechem levado yicheh ha'adam, also perichas of devarim, ki al kol matzo pi Hashem yicheh ha'adam, not by bread alone does man live, but by everything that emanates from the mouth of God, man lives. I went a little bit over, I apologize. Tomorrow we will finish up Sefer Mishlei with Perek Lamed Av. Have a gevaldik day. Thank you so much. Kol tov to all.
Thank you, everybody, for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat and Le'zecher Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rachel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo. May the Neshamot have aliyah in the merit of these Divrei Torah. I wish everybody a wonderful day.